Hello and welcome to the Fit Like a Girl podcast. My name is Jackie Lindahl. I am a mom of two, an avid coffee drinker, and a certified personal trainer. I have been in the fitness industry for nearly 10 years, and I help women get fit, strong, and lose weight without losing their damn minds. If you're looking for help on achieving your health, weight loss, and fitness goals without all the fitness industry confusion and BS, you have come to the right place. Hello and welcome back to the Fit Like a Girl podcast. My name is Jackie. Thank you for listening. So in today's episode, I wanted to talk about nutrition myths that need to die. But of course, I have some updates. First things first, I have some new business updates, we'll call it. Just training updates. So I have decided to bring back in-person training. Now, I have some stipulations to it in that my availability for in-person training is limited and I am only in-person training out of one location now. When I was doing in-person training before, this would have been like pre-COVID slash like just after COVID before I had my second baby, I worked out of a gym for a few years. And then I also did like mobile training where I would meet at like different facilities in and around Edmonton, as well as like did a little bit of in-home training with clients. And I spent a lot of time in my vehicle driving around from location to location. I would be at this gym and then I would go to a rec center to train somebody and then I would have to go somewhere else. And it was just a lot of driving and a lot of like back and forth. And at the time, I didn't have kids when I was doing that, and I had the availability in my day to do that. Then when I had my first baby, I limited what I was doing for in-person training to just the one gym that I was working out of at the time. And then I really downsized like my hours where I wasn't doing as much, as many hours a week. And then COVID happened and that pretty much shut down in-person training completely. So then after COVID, I started doing in-home training where I was going to like clients' homes. And even then it was very limited. I only had like a few clients at one time, but again, a lot of driving and a lot of traveling. And that's not really something that I had wanted to do. So that from there, after I had my second baby, between like COVID 2020 and when I had my second daughter in 2022, I slowly started to grow my online side of the business, where when I had my second baby, I went to completely online in 2022. And I love it. I love working online. I love working from home and being at home. Like I know some people don't like working from home and they want to have more like face-to-face interaction. They feel like they need to get out of house, cabin fever and all that. That's not me. I could honestly, like, especially with where we live now, being on an acreage, I have horses, I can go outside and like actually enjoy my outside on the acreage and stuff. I do not feel the need to leave my property unless like I need groceries or something like that. And that being said, working online and solely online really suited me, and I was able to grow my clientele for online business over the past couple of years, which has been amazing. And yeah, I loved it. But this opportunity to bring back in-person training kind of fell in my lap. And I decided that it might be a sign to bring it back in again. So I joined a local entrepreneur group and with the town that I live in, which is a very small town. But I met the person who owns the local gym, and I actually know who she is. I've met her quite a few times, but we were actually able to like sit down and have a conversation at this group. And she said, you know, like if you're interested in doing in-person training, I only have one trainer currently that works out of the gym, and like we have availability for another trainer and that. So this kind of just fell in my lap. So I went and I met with her last week. We had a great conversation. And yeah, so I'm going to be doing in-person training solely out of this gym at the in the town that I work at, or in the town that I live near. It's the same town that like my girls go to school and daycare in and that kind of thing. So it's super convenient to just drive 10 minutes to town to do in-person training sessions or schedule them like around my kids' pickup and drop off time, that kind of thing. So Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I do love in-person training. Like, obviously, that's what got me into the industry and why I love doing what I do so much. And even though I'm perfectly happy working from home and working solely online, I thought to myself, like, it would be nice to get back in that gym environment and to offer that as another thing for in person. So yeah, as of now, I'm going to be offering in person training and some hybrid options where it's like a mix of in person and online, and see how it goes over the next little while. And I'm really excited about it. Had my first session with in person today, and it went great. I loved it. I kind of forgot about how much I do really truly enjoy in-person training, and it's good to have a mix. So, and it'll get me out of the house a little bit more, which again, I'm not complaining about being stuck in my house, but it forces me to, like, I don't know, maybe put on a non-ratty t-shirt and pants without holes in them to go and interact with also like adults a little bit more in person. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. In this conversation, though, and as I was thinking about it, and given that today is March 19th, so as I'm recording this, it's March 19th. Now, I had a bit of a flashback too. It was 5 years ago today. Well, not 5 years ago today. It was 5 years ago, as of like a couple days ago, that the world shut down because of COVID. And it's insane. It's absolutely insane to think that like the beginning of COVID was 5 years ago. Like that's half of a decade that COVID first started. And here we are 5 years later. And just looking back on that, I was doing a lot of reflecting this week because of A, like going back to in-person training, which I, was doing. That was 100% pretty much, I would say like 80% of my business pre-COVID was in-person training. And I only did a little bit of online at that time. And so I was kind of reflecting back and thinking about, like, wow, the beginning of COVID was 5 years ago, and how much has changed since then. Like, 5 years ago, at the beginning of COVID, I had a 6-month-old baby. I was absolutely terrified at the beginning of COVID because all the gyms shut down, which completely stopped my business. I couldn't work. My husband got laid off from his job at the time. He couldn't work. He was working construction, like as an electrician at the time, doing a construction job, and the construction site got shut down because of COVID. And he couldn't go to work. I couldn't work. We were both stuck at home with a 6-month-old baby. And it was absolutely terrifying. Like, it was, thinking back on that now, it was absolutely insane. And there was so much fear around, like, what was going to happen with COVID. I remember, like, we were watching the news, like, multiple times a day, trying to figure out, like, is this a temporary thing? Like, what's going to happen here? They keep saying 2 weeks, but we all know how that went. It was not 2 weeks. And it was just so much uncertainty and so scary at the time. And although COVID was an awful thing, and I wish it didn't happen, but it did happen, it forced my husband and I to make a lot of changes in our life, which positively impacted us down the road. At the time, we couldn't see how it was going to positively impact us. But honestly, for my business, COVID was one of the best things to happen because I had always wanted to pivot to online, but I didn't know how to do it. And being stuck at home during COVID, it forced that pivot for me. It forced me to dive deeper into online training and to get myself out there a little bit more and to basically put some things into place that I had wanted to do, but I didn't know how to do at the time. And it forced my husband, he wanted to upgrade, not upgrade, he wanted to further his education. And that, so he was able to do that. Being home, he worked on, or to get his master electrician certification and stuff. So it forced us to really kind of look inward and be like, okay, what do we want to do? The other thing that we really wanted to do at that time was we wanted to move. Like, we were stuck in the city and we had wanted to move, and we were like, okay, we need to start putting some plans into place to make this happen. And so we worked our asses off for like a year until we were finally able to move the following year, in 2021 to where we are now. And yeah, it's crazy to think about how much has changed in our lives since then. Like, yes, I'm still a personal trainer, still doing the same thing, but how much I've grown my business and figured out my systems and kind of figured those things out that I didn't have figured out before. My husband changed jobs to a job that he really likes and has furthered his education even more. And now we have another baby and I'm back riding horses and we're out on an acreage now. And it's just, it's crazy to think about how much has changed in our lives since COVID started 5 years ago. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about COVID that it really is giving me this self-reflection lately, or at least like this week specifically, just because I guess like how much has changed since the shutdowns and things like that happened. But anyways, that went a little bit longer than I wanted to, but it was just kind of some introspect that I've had over the last little while. Let's get into nutrition myths that need to die. Honestly, this could be a 5-hour podcast of me talking about different myths and things like that that I am so sick of hearing about. I've narrowed it down to a few, because honestly, I could talk all day. And there are just so many out there when it comes to so many myths and fallacies and things like that out there and shit that influencers talk about online that absolutely drive me bonkers. Let's get into it. Myth number one is carbs make you fat. This one has been around for quite a while now. It started with the keto trend of like, what was that, 2016, 2015 that the keto trend started, maybe even earlier than that. And it's just not going away. It's kind of evolved from like, keto, you know, carbs are bad, do keto, to now carbs are bad, do carnivore. And it just is absolutely ridiculous. So carbs, there's no single food in and of itself that will make you gain or lose weight. Period, end of story. And the whole myth of carbs making you gain weight is so redundant and overdone that honestly, they need a new scape. But this kind of stemmed from the fact that a couple of different things. One is that it stemmed from the fact that oftentimes when people cut out carbohydrates, they cut out carbohydrates in their diet, that they will lose water weight, which makes the scale go down. Oftentimes when people will switch from a more higher carbohydrate diet to a lower carb diet like keto or just cutting out carbs altogether, whatever that might be, they'll notice a really rapid drop in weight on the scale. And that's because carbs attach onto water. The carbs attach onto water for digestion and also how they're stored in the body. So when you eat more carbohydrates than usual, you'll see the scale spike up. Like say, for example, you have just like a pasta and bread day where all you eat is pasta and bread, a lot of carbohydrates in a day. The next day, you'll probably see a spike in the scale. Not because carbs made you gain weight, or that one time that you ate a bunch of carbs, it made you gain weight or gain fat. It's because as your body is digesting and utilizing those carbohydrates, it's attaching onto water and you're holding onto more water, which makes the scale go up. And a lot of people, when they start a low carbohydrate diet, they have a really fast drop in weight within the first couple of weeks because they are not eating carbohydrates, so their body isn't storing as much water. Doesn't mean that they've lost 5 pounds of fat in a day. It just means that they've lost probably like 5 or so pounds of water weight really quickly. And then, of course, when they go to add carbohydrates back into their body, or the carbohydrates are going to suck up a bunch of water as you're utilizing them in your body, which is going to make the scale go up. And that's why people kind of associate with that with carbohydrates make you gain weight. Not only that, people also talk about how like carbohydrates cause insulin spikes and that's what makes you gain weight. And that's just a whole other thing. But either way, carbohydrates are an essential macronutrient. Our bodies need them. Our body's preferred energy source is carbohydrates. Yes, your body can also use fats for energy and things like that. Yes, absolutely. Our body's preferred source of fuel is carbohydrates. So carbohydrates in and of themselves do not make you fat. They are a food that I would say depending on the source of carbohydrates, they can be really easy to overeat. For example, like pasta, bread, those kinds of things. You can eat a lot of bread and a lot of pasta in one sitting and they're easy to overeat, but they are, those types of carbohydrates are more calorie dense. And then there's other carbohydrates such as like potatoes, rice, those kinds of things that I would say aren't as easy to overeat. But ones like whenever generally we think about carbs, oftentimes people are thinking about like breads, pastas, and that kind of thing. And those are foods that, yes, you can easily overeat, but those foods in and of themselves are not bad foods and they don't make you gain weight. Carbohydrates, also one thing that people don't understand about them is it's a wide variety of food. It's not just breads and pastas. It's also like breads, pastas, potatoes, squashes, vegetables have carbohydrates in them. Fruit has carbohydrates in them. They all have different amounts of carbohydrates in them. Obviously, like vegetables and fruit and those kinds of things are quite low in carbohydrates versus like breads, pastas are quite high in carbohydrates and potatoes as well. But they are still an essential thing. Not only foods that contain a lot of fiber are carbohydrates, which are good for your body. You need fiber. So in that case alone, carbohydrates are essential. And it's just the whole carbohydrates make you fat rhetoric is just so overdone and it's so old. But yet people know logically that carbohydrates don't make you fat, but I don't know how many times I hear people say, I want to lose weight, I'm going to cut carbs. It's not the carbs. I can guarantee you that. It is not the carbs that are making you hang on to weight. Yes, cutting out carbohydrates might make it easier to get into a calorie deficit, or it's an easy, quick way for you to get in a calorie deficit, but you don't need to cut carbohydrates to go in a calorie deficit. Number two is that your body cannot absorb more than 30 grams of protein at one time. This one I hear a lot, especially when I will talk with clients that are struggling with their protein intake. One of my recommendations is to split up your protein intake throughout the day where you're trying to get at least 30 grams of protein per meal and at least one of your snacks throughout the day. And oftentimes I'll have the question of like, well, if I get more than 30 grams, is my body going to absorb it all? And the answer is yes. You will. Your body will break down and absorb more than 30 grams of protein at one time. It's not like as soon as you reach 30 grams of protein, oh, your body just like cuts off and stops digesting and utilizing it. Keep in mind, protein serves multiple different functions in the body. It's not just for gaining muscle mass. A lot of people kind of just associate protein must just be about gaining muscle mass, but protein serves multiple different functions within the body. It's not just about gaining muscle. Yes, obviously protein is super important for like building blocks of tissues, organs, muscle mass, all that kind of thing, but also helps like your skin, your hair, your nails. It helps with like chemical reactions in the body, helps your digestion, helps with hormones because amino acids and proteins work as like chemical messengers in the body and helps make sure that you have good hormone function as well as antibodies and energy production, all of these kinds of things. Like protein serves multiple different functions in the body. So yes, your body will break down and utilize protein for all of these different functions in your body, not just for muscle mass. Not only that, protein is also super satiating, helps you feel full, especially if you're in a calorie deficit, and keeps you full longer between your meals. So just fucking get your protein in, okay? Don't panic about not being able to absorb only a certain amount of protein after each meal. Your body will break it down and utilize it for all the different functions that it needs to throughout the day. Myth number three that needs to go away is that insulin and blood glucose spikes make you fat. This is something that has, of course, come up in conjunction with the whole carbohydrates are bad rhetoric over the past few years. It's become the scapegoat along with the whole carbohydrates are bad situation, in that if you eat any food that spikes your blood sugar, it's bad, and having an insulin response is bad, and it's just ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Because then this also started the trend of like everybody and their dog wearing a blood glucose monitor and checking their blood sugar spikes throughout the day and trying to avoid certain foods so that they don't have a blood sugar spike. Honestly, it doesn't make any sense. It never made any sense whatsoever. Unless you're diabetic, you don't need to be worrying about having a blood glucose spike and an insulin response after a meal. It's actually how your body works. It's supposed to happen. Blood glucose spike after you eat is supposed to happen. And it can depend on what kinds of foods and things like that you eat. Definitely foods like carbohydrates can be broken down into glucose a lot more simply and then get into the bloodstream, which causes a blood glucose spike. But all foods do this. All foods do this. Some of them just do it faster than others. And the insulin comes and takes that glucose and puts it into your cells to be stored for later use. Like, that's supposed to happen. You're supposed to have a blood glucose spike, which signals to your insulin or signals your pancreas to be like, hey, let's send these little guys out to go do their job. And the insulin comes and takes the blood glucose and brings it to where it's supposed to go in the body. Like, this is supposed to happen. If this doesn't happen, you have a fucking problem and you need a doctor. And I think that's where a lot of people start freaking out when they're like, oh my gosh, I had a blood glucose response. I'm going to have an insulin response. Yes, bitch, that's supposed to happen. If it doesn't happen, believe me, you have a problem. And so again, you don't need to worry unless you're diabetic or you have some kind of a blood sugar, insulin resistance type issue. This is a non-issue for a perfectly healthy person with a perfectly functioning pancreas. I think that this rumor or this myth also came out with the whole like insulin resistance becoming a little bit more known and talked about, which is good. Like, we need to be more aware about insulin resistance and the type of people who are going to be prone to it and how it can sometimes be a precursor to diabetes. Like, these things do need to be talked about and addressed, but it's a lot of people who shouldn't be talking about it have been talking about it. And yeah, it's just been a silly thing that drives me absolutely nuts on the internet, hearing people talk about how spiking your blood sugar is bad and having an insulin response is bad when it's not. It's just how your body's supposed to fucking work. That was number three, I think. Number four is blank food, whatever it is poison. That certain foods are poison. Now, these usually often come with some shirtless jackass at the grocery store or some jackass with some orange blue light blocking glasses on a fucking podcast talking about how these foods are poison and this is poison. And if you can't pronounce this food or this ingredient, that means it's poison and you shouldn't put it in your body, blah, 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 blah. It's super fucking irritating. There are no single foods that will make or break your health. We need to stop thinking about these individual foods and start thinking about our diet as a whole, a holistic approach to nutrition rather than just cut out these foods, do this, stop eating these because it's poison. Because just because something has a long name doesn't make it bad, or something has a chemical compound in it doesn't make it bad. And not only that, it's not the food in and of itself, it's the dose makes the poison. Water, which we all know we're supposed to have as a part of our healthy life and our body needs to function, too much water can kill you. Too little water can kill you. Too much sodium can kill you. Too little sodium can kill you. It's not the foods in and of themselves. It's taking a look at our diet as a whole. And so it's not that a certain food is poison. And it like drives me absolutely up the fucking wall when people will talk about like, oh, ramen noodles are poison and Oreos are poison and all these things. And it's like, it's not. These individual foods aren't poisonous, obviously. Otherwise people would, you know, it's not like rat poison where we're going to be eating rat poison. Obviously that's terrible for us. Should people be eating, you know, chips and like ramen and Oreo cookies for every single meal of every single day? No, but I wouldn't say that about any food. I wouldn't tell somebody that they need to eat only apples for every single meal of every single day. That doesn't make any sense. And what we need to do is approach it in a more holistic manner. So if the majority of your diet is made up of like whole foods, complex carbohydrates, lots of fruit, vegetables, healthy proteins, healthy fats, getting a good amount of fiber, then having things like pop, Oreos, hot dogs, that kinds of things in moderation is perfectly fine. And it's not going to have a negative impact on your health because the majority of your diet is made up of quite nutritious quality foods. If the majority of your diet is pop and McDonald's and junky foods, then yes, that's obviously going to have a negative impact on your health. And I understand where a lot of these people, maybe in their mind, coming from a good place in that they feel like a lot of our population in North America especially is unhealthy. Agreed. I do agree on that. That's something I feel like we can agree on, that a lot of the population in North America is unhealthy and that we need to have a better approach to nutrition. We need to have better, more nutrient dense foods available. We need to have better education about nutrition, but it's going in the wrong direction. Like, we're worrying about the wrong shit here. We're worrying about red dyes and that kind of thing when there's still tons of people who smoke and drink too much alcohol and are just eating too much junk food on a regular basis. Or there's people who live in fucking food deserts that cannot have, that do not have access to fresh foods. These are the big things that we need to talk about. Not so much panicking about the red dye. Why are we panicking about the red dye when the more nutrient dense, higher quality nutrition foods are hard to come by or are unaffordable for many people? Why are we not addressing those issues, which would fix a lot of the problem, which would help actually help people with their nutrition and help them make better choices for their nutrition? Those are the kinds of things that we need to address. And by talking about this food is poison or that food is poison, like, it just is ridiculous. The other thing that people will talk about is like, oh, if you can't pronounce an ingredient, then you shouldn't eat it. I'm all for focusing on more whole, less ultra processed foods. But we need to realize a few things. A, just because a ingredient might have a long name, it doesn't make it bad. Like ascorbic, like you'll see like ascorbic acid. That's just vitamin C. It's vitamin C. Or citric acid, vitamin C. Again, those kinds of things are not bad. Or there's, you know, certain preservatives in food. Yes, it's either that or the food's going to go like fucking rotten. So I'm all for like, yes, we need to have the majority of our diet focus on like more whole foods, less ultra processed foods, but it doesn't mean that processed foods cannot have a place in our diet. Not only that, we need to also realize that all foods are processed in some way, shape, or form. Some of them are a lot more processed than others. So even something like a cucumber has to be picked off the vine. It has to be washed. It has to be packaged, shipped, like all those things. That's all a process. Same thing with like meat. The animal has to be butchered. It has to be cut up. It has to be wrapped. Like there's a lot of processes here to get your animal from the field to your table. And then yes, obviously there's a lot more like ultra processed foods like chips or like cookies or packaged foods and those kinds of things. Yes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that just because it is more processed doesn't make it bad. Like yogurt is a highly processed food. It's quite a process. If you've ever made homemade yogurt or cheese or anything like that before, it's quite a process to make a jug of milk go to yogurt or go to cheese. It's quite the process. Process is. So just because a food is processed doesn't make it automatically bad. Yeah, it's one of those things that I feel like people's hearts are in the right place, but they are going about it all wrong and the messaging is just not there. Last thing is you need a detox or you need to detox. Now, the whole detox rhetoric has been around for many years. And despite me feeling like maybe sometimes I get stuck in a bubble in the fitness industry, but I felt like over the past few years, the whole like people are kind of pulling away from detoxes or cleanses. But with the beginning of the year in 2025, I'm a part of like a bunch of different Facebook groups, local Facebook groups and like all those kinds of things. I am constantly seeing people posting, asking about what detoxes and cleanses they should be doing. And I'm like, why are we still talking about detoxes and fucking cleanses? Listen, if you are considering a detox or a cleanse, I really need you to listen to me, okay? There are no detoxes or cleanses that will actually do the shit that they say that they will. if you are feeling sluggish, if you're feeling tired, if you feel like you need a kickstart to your new healthy routine, whatever the fuck it is, you don't need a detox or a cleanse. You need to work on your daily habits. You need to start exercising. You need to start sleeping better. You need to start working on your nutrition. You don't need a fucking detox with some shitty, sketchy stuff that some bitch is going to sell you on the fucking internet with God knows what ingredients are in there, doing God knows what to your body. Most of the time, it gives you the shits, which is like, trust me, not fun. And it's not going to do anything. It's going to make you lose a ton of water weight, which is going to make the scale go down. You're going to be like, oh my God, I got so many toxins out of my body. Or it's going to like make your pee turn a sketchy color, which is like, God knows what that's doing to your kidneys. And you're going to be like, oh my God, all these toxins. It's not the fucking toxins. It's not the toxins. Okay. If you want to start feeling better or you want to kickstart your little health journey, then you need to focus on the shit that's actually going to help. Like clean up your diet. More whole, less ultra processed foods, get better sleep, start exercising, sweat a little bit during the day, drink some water, maybe don't drink as much caffeine, less pop. Like those are the things that's actually going to help you feel better and impact your health, not some sketchy shit that some bitch is selling with a 10% off code in her bio. Not only that, the people who are peddling this shit have no clue about any of these things or how it works. So if somebody's like actually trying to sell you a detox, ask them specifically, what toxins are they trying to get rid of in the body? How did those toxins get there in the first place? What are the names of the toxins? And what by what mechanisms and what ingredients does this detox actually help my body get rid of these toxins? They're not going to have an answer for any of that. Why? Because they're full of shit. I feel like I explained that enough. Went on a little tangent there, but that's okay. So those are the five nutrition myths that I feel like just they need to get put in the grave and just be left there. But like a horror, it's like the ending of a horror movie that every time I feel like one of these nutrition myths are dying, it's like a horror movie where the villain comes back to life and it's like, bam, I'm alive. And then the movie cuts out. That's how I feel like these just, they won't go away. They won't die. I'm hoping that you found these helpful. If you haven't yet, please feel free to subscribe to the podcast. And if you don't already, feel free to head over to Instagram and follow me there. That's where I post the most amount of content and my social media. If you have questions about my online training or if you're local to where I am, in-person training options, feel free to head to my website, www.fitlikeagirl.ca. I will post that in the show notes as well as the link to my Instagram. If you are a female who is looking for a supportive community, a supportive fitness community with like a no bullshit approach, I do also have a free Facebook group. I will post that in the show notes and you can request to join. You do have to answer some questions to join, but you can go ahead and do that. And also, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening and I hope that you have a great rest of your week and we will chat soon.